Let me welcome each of you here to our services today at First Baptist, and especially to our first-time visitors. I'm not sure that I've met all of you, but we're glad to have Jeff and Jessica King and their two-and-a-half-year-old son, Dylan, back at the back. And so they're here all the way from North Arlington. So we're glad to have them in the service today. Well, today, since we just passed the 4th of July, and we preached a sermon relating to that last Sunday, and I thought we would sort of continue on in that vein today, speaking on the subject, America at the Crossroads. I started to start this off with 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. You remember we've been talking about Ebenezer, and Israel had been defeated by the Philistines, and they were in bondage to the Philistines, and 20 years had passed, and finally the people gathered together, and Samuel talked to them, and he said, if you'll just repent of your sins and turn back to God, God will hear your prayers. And so Israel then was at the crossroads, and they cried out to God, and God heard their prayers, and God help them to defeat their enemies and give them victory. America today is sort of like Israel was then. We're at the crossroads. America has been turning away from God, and there are those that are bent on converting our nation into a secular nation where they want to put God and religion, and particularly Christianity, in a closet, and maybe every once in a while let him out of the closet. But so we want to talk about that today, America at the crossroads. I'm going to read just a couple of short verses of Scripture, if you would like to stand with me for the reading of these two Scriptures. First one is Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance. And then over to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we come to you today. We recognize that you are our God, that you are the creator of the universe, that you are a sovereign God who works in history to accomplish your purposes. And Father, we confess that we were created by you and that we belong to you. And Father, that we might, each and every single one of us, trust in you with all of our hearts and know that you are our God. And Father, as we think about our nation and the decisions and challenges that lie ahead in the next few months, we know that this nation is a nation that has been greatly blessed by you. And we know that this is a nation that you have blessed and exalted and given a unique position in the world. But Father, that can only remain as long as this nation exalts you and gives honor and glory to you. And so I pray, Father, that you would just open our eyes and our hearts and help us to realize that we may be just one citizen in this great nation. But Lord, we need, in our little corner of this nation, in this universe, to bow before you, to cry out to you, and to surrender our lives to your sovereignty and your leadership, to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I am convinced that today, the year 2012, July the 8th, America is at the crossroad. On November the 6th of this year, we will be facing an important election. An election where we will choose the leaders of our nation for the next 4 years. And I believe the results of this election will determine our future. The scripture does not say that a nation must have every person converted in order to be blessed by God. Even though America has been recognized and known as a Christian nation in the world, never in our history have we been 100% Christian. I'm not sure we've ever even been 50% Christian. But the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness means that a nation is ruled and governed and guided in a right moral sense. In other words, it means that we need to follow the moral laws of God. We here at First Baptist, I believe all of our people love America. She has been a nation that was blessed, the scripture says exalted, uniquely by God. However, I'm convinced that we are in danger of losing that favored position. Unless America changes her course, America is at the crossroads. Point number one, and we've got three quick points today. I may even let you out before 12 o'clock. Number one, the road of righteousness. What made America great? Righteousness exalts a nation. For someone today, and there are those who deny that fact, but to say that our nation was not founded upon Christian principles is to ignore and rewrite recorded history. Yes, it is being ignored, and more than that, it's being changed. Attempts are being made in our country to wipe out the name of God from our foundations. Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so as we look at what is happening in our nation today, we need to understand and we need to cry out, "Lord, what can we do?" As the Declaration of Independence was being signed, Samuel Adams declared, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." We thank God for the kingdom of God that has been blessed here in America and been used greatly by God to send missionaries to the four corners of the world so that the world might receive the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let his kingdom come. On June the 28th, 1787, in the first constitutional convention, Benjamin Franklin said these words, "In the beginning of our contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and graciously answered. We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Even though Benjamin Franklin may not have been a devout Christian in the sense that we know it, yet he was a man who certainly understood that God was sovereign and ruler over this nation. Last Sunday, I quoted Patrick Henry, who made that famous speech concluding with, "Give me liberty or give me death." And in his will, Patrick Henry wrote these words: "I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more that I wish I could give to them. That is the Christian religion. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that and I had given them the world, they would be poor." And the man whom many believe to be the greatest president we've ever had, Abraham Lincoln, said these words: "We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined that all things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God who made us." And yes, we need to come back to those realizations once again. As our founding fathers understood, as Abraham Lincoln understood, we need God. Who can deny that when God led the pilgrims to this land, he favored them? It is a land of wealth. It is a land of opportunity. It is a land of beauty. It is a land of unparalleled blessing. Truly, America is a nation that has been blessed by God. And being one who has born out in West Texas, never imagined I'd get out of the state of Texas, much less see many of the countries of the world. But having traveled to many of those countries of the world, I can stand here and testify to you today that America is the envy of the world. And that it's rare to find a nation of people who would not like to come and be one of us, an American citizen. Point number two, the road of reproach, sin. Proverbs 14:34 says, "But sin is a reproach to any people." To say that our nation today has not been moved away from our original foundations upon which the founding fathers believed and practiced and stood, to not understand that those changes have been taken place, is to ignore reality. And it's kind of scary. On November 30th, 1998, a pastor by the name of Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate in prayer. And as he began to pray, everyone was expecting the usual politically correct generalities. But what they heard was a stirring prayer, passionately calling our country to repentance and righteousness. And I quote this prayer of Pastor Joe Wright. He said, "Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, 'Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil.' But that's what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values." Continuing to quote, "We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn children and called it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. And Pastor Joe Wright concluded his prayer with these words: "Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." The response to Pastor Wright's prayer was immediate. A number of the legislators in the Kansas Senate got up and walked out during the prayer in protest. But in 6 short weeks, more than 5,000 phone calls were logged at the pastor's church, with only 47 of those expressing negative reaction to the prayer. Paul Harvey, our beloved, now departed commentator, aired the prayer on his radio program, and he received the largest response to that program than any other he had ever aired. As a whole, our nation is turning back on the God who made the United States the great nation that it is. And I stand here today, I'm not saying that America is perfect. We've never been perfect. But we've been a nation blessed by God, and I believe with all of my heart that even in the Bible, as Israel was the chosen people of God, and He chose them for a purpose in order that through them we might receive the Word of God, and that we might receive the blessed Savior Jesus Christ, who came into the world born of a virgin in the nation of Israel, that today we might receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe also that America was a nation that God founded and placed here for a purpose. And that purpose is primarily that we might lift high the name of our God. And that the world, that America would be a beacon of light to the world. And let the world know that there is a God, that there is a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. But as we look at our nation today, it's scary to see how our nation is turning its back on the God who made this nation the great nation that it is. But we also thank God for the remnant, for the vocal minority, like Pastor Joe Wright and many others across this land who are willing to get up and take a stand that may not be popular, but one that's needed. According to the June 1998 report by the National Commission on Civic Renewal, which was led by William Bennett, who was the drug czar at that time, they said the United States leads the nations of the world in murders, violent crime, imprisonment, divorce, abortion, sexually transmitted diseases, teen suicide, cocaine consumption, and pornography production. The sad fact, we live in a nation that for the most part does not value life, that does not value morality, and that does not value the family. The politicians in America often give lip service to family values and say that they are important, but the family has been redefined in America today to include immoral and God-debasing relationships. The things that are valued seemingly by the majority of people in America today is self-gratification. If it feels good, do it. Self-fulfillment or self-realization. No matter what it takes or who it hurts. And self-absorption. No thought of how our actions affect others. I, me, my, mine, us four and no more. It is a reproach to know that the United States is the biggest exporter of pornography in the world. 90% of all porn originates right here in Christian America. It is a reproach to us that over, at the time this report was made, 45 million, but today, 2012, over 52 million babies have been aborted in America since Roe v. Wade was passed. And it is a reproach to us that we are entertained today by that which God calls evil. It is a reproach to us to know that we promote perversion in the name of diversity and call it an alternative lifestyle. Our nation is being spoiled by the armies of the alcohol industry, the drug trade, the pornography producers, and the entertainment media. And it's a sad, sad picture. But the road to revival, I wish all of you could have been here to hear Richard's excellent Sunday school lesson this morning talking about revival and the things that we need to do even as they did in ancient Israel. The road to revival. What can save America? 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 17 and 18 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Judgment must begin at the house of God. That means First Baptist Las Colinas. That means you and me. To examine our hearts and our lives, to find out where we have failed, where we haven't measured up. The scripture that Richard used this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, a scripture that perhaps many, many of us have memorized. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Humble ourselves. How long has it been since we have been on our faces before God, crying out to Him, confessing our sins to Him? If I may turn back over to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 3, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only. He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. And Israel cried out. They mourned. They bewailed their sin and how they had turned their back upon God. If the churches of our land and the Christians of our land were what they should be, our nation would not be in the trouble it is today. There are many signs of this. The divorce rate in America among Christian people is almost identical to the divorce rate among the secular non-Christian population. Where have we gone wrong? Have we abandoned the standards that God has given us? Have we abandoned His Word and His will in our lives for what's convenient, for what's pleasurable, for what will satisfy me? Humble yourselves and pray. Pray for forgiveness. That's what Israel did. They cried out to God and they confessed their sins before God, and they confessed that they had failed Him, that they had disobeyed Him, that they had rebelled against Him. They prayed for forgiveness. Pray for God to search us. Pastor Joe Wright, in the closing of his statements, search us, O God, and know our hearts, know our ways. Pray for God to search us. Pray for God to use us. This church has been here for 159 years. I was listening to Dr. Robert Jeffers on the way up here this morning, and he made the statement that First Baptist Church of Dallas was 147 years young. And I said, yeah, but we're 159. But like ancient Israel, churches have their ups and downs. As I've read the history of this church, there have been several times when they would hit bottom, just have a handful of people here. The three times that I know about specifically, in 1960, when Brother Billy Duggar, who's still living and lives in Louisville, former pastor of this church, came to the church, you had just that little handful of people, him and his family and just a few more. But God blessed and sent revival, and the church was revived. And then later, after Brother Billy left, Brother Joe Eaton, we had Sister Mildred's funeral this past week. Brother Joe Eaton came, and his testimony to me was when he first came to the church, there was just that little handful of people, his family and a few others. But through his faithful ministry, God blessed the church and it was revived. And God used Brother Joe and the church to win many souls. And then in 2001, when we came to the church, again, that little handful of people. The lesson I learned from all of this is that God is a faithful God. God never abandons His church. He never abandons His people. But if we would just call out to Him and pour our hearts out to Him and cry out to Him, then God will hear and He will answer our prayers. seek God's face? Are we seeking His face today? Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." In all your ways acknowledge Him. And so, as we face an important election, as we face the future of our nation, I cannot be responsible for what other churches do or what other people do, but I can be responsible for what I must do before God. The last thing that Solomon in his prayer that said, "Turn from your wicked ways. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Turn from their wicked ways. Repentance means a change of heart. As you read that account in 1 Samuel chapter 7, you can see so vividly how Israel now has a change of heart. Before, they were trusting in themselves. They were trusting in their army. They were trusting in the Ark of the Covenant to give them victory in battle. But now they recognize God is King. God must give them the victory. And they cry out to Him. They turn from their wicked ways. Repentance means a change of heart that leads to a change of action. Israel had a change of heart. If righteousness exalts and sin is a reproach, it is time to repent of our sin and return to righteousness as a nation. When we humble ourselves, God answers. Whether it is the prayer of a sinner crying out to God for salvation, God will hear. And yesterday we had our family reunion over in Fort Worth at the South Park Baptist Church. And one of the family documents that I have is a 13-page, I don't know what you'd call it, testimony by my aunt, my dad's younger sister. And when she was fairly young, at the encouragement of her grandmother, my great-grandmother, she made a profession of faith, was baptized. But she recognized that she was still lost. And her testimony is in that pursuit of salvation. Seeking God. And when she finally came to the place where she cried out to God in desperation, saying, "God, I'll go to hell believing in You, that You are my God and my Savior." And in that moment, in that instant, God came down and saved her soul. And there may be those in this service today. You've been battling. You've been struggling. You know that you've not been truly saved by the grace of God. You've just been putting on a front, a facade. But you know that in your heart, you're not yet born again, not yet saved by the grace of God. And today, you would just cry out to Him and say, "God, I believe in Jesus, that He is Your Son, my Savior. And I invite Him to come into my heart today." Or it may be the prayer, a plea from our heart for God to deliver our nation. We need that deliverance today. We need another great revival. It's been a joy to read about the life of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield of England, a great evangelist, and the great awakening that happened in the early days in America. how that revival came about, how as Jonathan Edwards, who is considered to be the greatest philosopher and the greatest theologian in the history of America. But he was, from all accounts, a boring preacher. He would read his sermons in a monotone, and yet, as God began to send revival, the people would come crying down the aisle, begging for forgiveness and repentance of their sins. We need that again in America. You know, one of the things that you may know, that among at least Baptist churches, we have what we call revival meetings. And it's usually where you have some outside pastor or evangelist come and have a series of services, and they'll preach and at the end give an invitation inviting people to come forward. There's nothing unscriptural or wrong about that, except we shouldn't call it a revival meeting. It's an evangelistic meeting. We need a revival meeting in our church, in our nation, in our world. So, as Americans go to the polls on November the 6th, we need to realize that America is still at the crossroads. The people we vote for and elect will decide the future of our nation. Will we travel once again down the road of righteousness, or the road of reproach? Remember that America is a nation that was born of God and has been blessed by God, exalted by God. And so may each of us resolve in our hearts to be one man or one woman who will pledge our obedience to God and our trust in God. And may the sinful and shameful practices of our society bring remorse to our hearts and tears to our eyes. May we simply pray, kneel and pray for the salvation of our nation, and then get on our feet and go share the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost sinners. How will God save America? By saving her citizens. We will be a Christian nation only when a majority of Christians have been truly born again. The Bible divides all humanity into two categories, the saved and the lost. The lost are those who will perish in their sins and be punished for all eternity. God forbid. Yet God, the Bible says, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would have all men to be saved. That is why, about 2,000 years ago, he came into the world in the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins and died upon that cross. And he offers eternal life as a free gift to all who will simply humble themselves and receive it. So today, would you acknowledge your belief that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your God, the one who died in your place? Would you ask God today to save you, putting your complete trust in Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to save you from the punishment of hell that we all deserve? Let's pray. Father, we truly believe that America is at the crossroads. That unless America turns, repents, changes our hearts and our lives and our attitudes, that we will go down the road to destruction. God, save America. And God, save every lost soul in this service today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak, draw, woo, and convict those who need Jesus as their personal Savior. For it's in the precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Richard, what number shall we sing? 359. 359.